Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Sherry Denham and Mylon Yurkovich, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Thanks for joining us today for New Life.
I really appreciate your program.
We married a little over 19 years, but exactly a year ago, I committed adultery.
So basically, I have a choice between living a celibate life by myself or going to hell.
What happens is when God's structures aren't kept in place, then things kind of get upside down.
There may need to be another church split. You may need to split and find a church that has an active children's minister versus saying something like we're uncomfortable being around a mom and a daughter.
It seems like there's a real disconnect between how she sees things and how you see things.
There's not much that's honorable in her. Maybe the only thing you can honor her for is for giving you life.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live on this October fall day. Hope you're having a great day today. Joining me in the studio is Mylon Yurkovich, making more noise than I've ever heard you make.
I'm so sorry.
Do you need attention?
I actually know what I need is, I'm sorry.
An organizer.
An in-service.
Maybe you need
to behave in a studio.
Maybe you need a man bag, like Henry carries. I don't know.
You know, I sometimes carry a merce.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah. That's what they're officially
and
called.
And Dr. Sherry Denham right here.
Hello.
Okay, I want to make our word of wisdom come from a five-year-old today. This is from Solomon. And my five-year-old, I was feeding Solomon and Amelia, the two-year-old. And I said to Amelia, you're not eating your chicken, so you can't have any French fries. And I hear Solomon say to Amelia, because I'm driving, Amelia, what you need grace. Here's some French fries. and he says,
serious.
Yeah. And he says, Dad, you know what grace is? I go, yes, what is it? He says, it's when you get something fantastic and you don't deserve it. That's my five-year-old little boy.
That's
fabulous. That's amazing grace right there.
He knows more. He knows more at five than a lot of adults
know. Oh, totally. I said that same thing. I said he understands grace better than so many 65-year-old people.
Yeah, now the downside of that story is Amelia gets her way. You know, I mean, so
we'll deal with that later.
We'll have to talk about that on another show.
Yeah, we'll deal with that at another time. Anyway, maybe you need some grace. Maybe that's you've got it, but you don't know you have it, and you need to tap into it. You know, there's so many people walking around with this guilt and shame, and some done by other people, some because you've made mistakes. Satan gets to say to you, congratulations, you're doing exactly what I want you to do. Feel bad.
It's true.
And, you know, there's no value to it when the second coming occurs and Jesus says to you, wow, you have felt worse for the longest time than anybody else in the entire universe. You don't get points for that.
Well, that would be an interesting discussion someday. When is the appropriate amount of time to feel shame? See, and then when should shame then be resolved and move on past shame?
Yeah.
Because I think a certain amount of shame, especially if we've done something wrong, is the appropriate thing.
Yeah. But then what's the difference between guilt and shame? Right? Because sometimes we get those two things confused. Shame is I am bad, but guilt's I've done something wrong.
Well, and maybe we need to deal with both of those questions, differentiate, and ask the question, when are the appropriate?
Yeah, but here, when you get to the issue of I feel guilty or I feel shame, many times that's synonymous in when the person's saying it. Because they don't have a clinician to clarify the difference. You know, they just, it feels bad, and they don't really know what it is. But anyway, God is a great God and provided a way out of this shame and the guilt. Really, the only reason you should feel guilt is you're either involved in something you shouldn't be doing, or you haven't accepted Christ's forgiveness for something that you shouldn't have done. And anything other than that is we're kind of wading through this stuff that Jesus doesn't want us wading through. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll go right to the phones today.
Or we're walking into walls.
Or we're walking in. You could walk into five different walls, and they would be blind spots that would prevent God's will in your life or Him working in your life. We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham. Let's go to the phones and talk with Art. Marietta, Georgia, WNIV. Hello, Art. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Is that a smoke alarm going off there in the back? You may be burning up and you don't even know it.
No.
Now it's quiet.
No, I just turned off my van.
Okay. How could we help, Art?
It's an honor to be speaking with you guys.
Thank you. We love having you call us.
I have a situation where because of some really big mistakes on my part, I have caused my relationship with my two teenage daughters to just deteriorate to where they have very little, they have no respect for me. They hate me.
How old are they?
15 and 17.
Okay, and what did you do to engender hatred?
Right. There was a period in my life where I used to make a good income, but through a series of miscues, ended up becoming evicted from our home, and it then led to my girls and my wife living with a brother-in-law, and I lived with my mom, and then with my dad. Mm. With my sister. Mm. So we're back under one roof again, but in the meantime, there's been damage.
And so you're saying that this whole damage is due to you not making the kind of money you used to make and it splits up the family, or were there some other things that are involved?
That's what happened. It ended up splitting up the family.
Mm-hmm.
And you are... Art, you had mentioned there was a financial misuse of money. Is that...
Miscues. Cues.
Oh, miscues, got it.
Or was there financial misuse?
Not misuse, just not making enough money.
Got it.
To cover expenses. And then not... when I had one job, really wasn't paying enough, and then not being able to maybe supplement that job by beating the pavement hard enough, and I didn't do that when I could have.
Okay.
And so, to make a long story short, our world turned upside down.
Okay. So how can we help you today?
Would like to know what you would recommend in terms of helping to restore a relationship between my two daughters and they're being able to love their father again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To be able to get that going.
Okay.
And, just what you would recommend that I do, because it's really hard where, I love my daughters and they hate me.
Yeah. Okay.
Because of allowing that to happen.
Mylon, you've had a couple of these.
Well, Art, do you think that they're somehow reflecting any attitudes of your wife?
possible. In fact, it's very possible.
All right. Because, you see, they were separated apart from you with their mom, and you were at a, you know, in a separate location. So what I'm wondering is, those kinds of situations create a lot of tension, and husbands and wives get into a lot of hurt, tension, stress. It puts you at your very worst in your marriage. And so your wife could be very resentful as to losing the house, having to move in with family. And it's possible that, you know, your wife has set some of the attitude inside these girls and vilified you or made you to be the bad guy. So I'm wondering, how's your relationship with your wife these days? And could she even help you understand what went on with those girls while they were separated from you?
I think the one thing that I would probably say is that my wife tried to be strong, but even still, it was very difficult.
Well, being strong is not necessarily a virtue, because if being strong means we just keep a stiff upper lip and mm-hmm. hold our head up,
right.
and that's somehow virtuous, that's not necessarily the case. How long was your family separated?
It was a little over a year.
Okay, that's a long time. How much contact did you have with the girls during that year, you individually with the girls?
Every day.
Okay.
I was taking them to school every day.
Okay, good. Well, so that answers one question.
And to church.
Okay, but still in all, there's something they dislike, and even though you were with them every day and you carried them, took them back forth to school, and you were in church with them, it doesn't mean you knew what was in their hearts, what they were struggling with, what they were suffering, what was going on inside of them. I don't know why they hate you, but you're going to have to ask them. Why are you so angry?
Mm-hmm. And Art, a lot of anger is one of those emotions that's really powerful. And underneath anger, there's usually one of three things. There is hurt, fear, or sadness. And sometimes people get stuck on the anger because it's the more powerful, less vulnerable of those emotions. But the underbelly, okay, the more vulnerable part of anger is actually hurt, fear, sadness. And I imagine your girls had a mouthful of some of those things. And I don't know if they've really had a safe opportunity where they could just sit with you and without you defending yourself or trying to make right or sound good or wrap it up in a nice little neat package, that they could just share how they were feeling, how hurt they were, how sad they were, how afraid they were.
So how would that sound, Sherry? If you were the parent and you were asking your kids what's under there, give me a sentence.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I am sensing that you're really angry at me, and that's okay. I can get, you know,
mm-hmm.
what I want to know is if there's something under that anger. I'm wondering if you were really hurt. Were you really scared during that period of time?
Yeah.
How were you afraid? How were you scared? I really want to hear you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just asking the question.
I've got three C's for your plan. First is confession, where you say to them, I am so sorry. Here is what I have done that I know must have hurt you. Here is what I could have done. Here is what I regret. Things like that.
Yeah.
That humble yourself before them. Then connection, like Sherry's talking about. And then the third C is consistency, that they see that never lagging. You're always there. You're always humble with them. You're always looking to connect with them in whatever way you can. Takes time. Okay, that's the best we can do. You think that would help?
Yeah, I think it would help a lot.
Okay.
And,
I'm sorry you're having to go through this.
Don't let their anger or hatred scare you. It's just really on the surface. There's so much more underneath
it. It's a good point.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. A lot of fear.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got Every Man's Battle coming up this weekend, and the person that will be hosting that and doing all of the lecturing is Jason Martinkus, and Jason is on the line. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good. So this is next weekend, October 14th through the 16th. People can still register. If a person comes to your Every Man's Battle workshop, what tools might they leave with if they worked really hard?
You know, guys that come to the workshop, they one of the things that we try to do, we try to, one, give them tools, but also help them understand why they do what they do and know how to appropriately apply the tools.
Mm-hmm.
So guys that come to the workshop get tools to help with their daily discipline, get tools to help with rewiring their brains, literally rewiring the neural pathways in their brain,
yeah.
Tools for reconnecting with wives and building trust, tools for managing their sexual integrity day-to-day in life at church, at the office, etc. I tell guys whenever they come in, whenever they leave, they're going to have a toolbox full of tools. The most important thing is that they understand how and when to use them.
Yeah, very good. You know, I just talked to a couple. They were in here earlier today, and he has his 20th month of sexual integrity and his 20th month of being in sustained victory with his phone call.
Awesome.
Is it every month or every week?
Sustained victory is every week.
Every week.
Teleconference call where the guys from the workshop stay connected with the men that they met there.
20 months.
That continued healing.
And there was his wife right by her. But you know what? They had done a lot of really smart things. They left the workshop, and then they both entered into marriage counseling to deal with the aftermath of all that had happened. And that's
a good idea.
It is
so
a good idea.
Smart. So he was doing his recovery on his own, and they were working on their marriage together. So anyway, Jason, thanks for all you do there. That person heard you, and it made a lot of difference. And thanks for doing what you do.
You're welcome. I'm thankful to be used.
All right. Jason Martinkus, next weekend, Every Man's Battle. You know, it's kind of the least you could do. Let's talk with Angie. Angie's calling from Chicago, Illinois. She listens on her podcast. Hello, Angie.
Hi, Steve.
How's it going?
Okay, a little nervous, but okay.
Okay, well, how could we help you?
Well, about 6 years ago, my husband and I separated. When I found out that he was viewing child pornography.
Mm.
And, yeah. So we separated, and my daughter at the time was 5, and she was not molested. She was interviewed, and they did an exam on her and everything, and I don't think he ever acted out on anything, but he was viewing child pornography. Well, we've since divorced, and through this whole time, my daughter has always asked me, you know, why did you and Daddy divorce? Why does Daddy not live with us? Why... just a lot of questions, and I've never really known how to tell her, so I've always just said, well, you know, it's an adult issue, and we'll talk about it when you're older, and, so now, 5 years, 6 years later, he's finally being prosecuted,
mm-hmm.
and he will be on the sex offender registry, and my daughter's 11 now, and I'm not really sure... her. I feel like I need to tell her something,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know what.
Okay. Is the sex offender list going to be something that she would run across?
Well, I don't think she would, but it just seems like everyone's always looking at that, and I would hate for one of her friend's parents to be tell, you know, oh, look, her dad's on the mm-hmm. registry, and then someone come to school
so,
and say something to her.
So the parents of the other kids are going to know about that list.
They might, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you want to be the one to tell her rather than her hear about it.
Yes, and I, you know, she wonders why she's not like other kids whose parents are divorced. She doesn't go spend the weekend there. She doesn't spend any time alone with her dad. So... you know, I think the older she gets, the more she's going to wonder, you know, why don't I spend the weekend with Dad? Why don't, mm-hmm. you know, why
it's
can't I go over there?
It's a very, very tough one.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, have you ever lied to her about it at all?
No, I've never lied to her about it. I've always just said that your dad did not hurt me. He didn't hurt you, but he did something that was wrong, and you're not old enough for me to talk to you about it yet.
Yeah. Is she a pretty bright 11-year-old?
Yes.
So, like, when us older people think of 11, she's probably more like 13 or so in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll help you right after this. All right.
Okay.
Hold on. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000 to join us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you could help us, we sure would appreciate it. We need all the support we can get, financial support. And if God is leading you towards supporting this ministry, please do it by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married? The ideal husband? The amazing dad? The great lover? But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham, and we're talking with Angie. And her husband is being prosecuted for. Now, he didn't touch a child. He was just involved in pornography, child pornography, trafficking.
Yeah, well, yes, he had a porn, or probably still does have a porn addiction, which ended in him looking at child pornography. Mm-hmm. But no, he's never been accused of actually touching anyone.
So okay. They confiscated his computer, find out that he had files of children, and then they pursued him and prosecuted him for that.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
You know, the way you just told us is actually kind of maybe not a bad way to tell her, is that okay. your father was looking at pictures on the internet, and eventually he started to look at young kids, and that's illegal, and he is an addict, and he was addicted to it, and it's wrong, and so he's going to be prosecuted for that. Mylon, you got some, I mean, what do you think? How should she go about?
Well, Angie, I love your wisdom that you've used with your daughter so far. This is an adult issue, and we'll discuss it as you get older. But now you've got an 11-year-old, and I tell people, by the time your child is 18, which is just 7 years from now, they need to know the full truth of the family system. If a child can go to war, be on a jury, sign a legal contract, they're adult enough to be able to understand the real truth. We get a lot of calls here at New Life of people finding out things that was hidden from them, mm-hmm. for years and decades, and they feel betrayed because they didn't know certain pieces of information. Your daughter needs to have a context why she doesn't have a private relationship with her dad, because it'll help her understand why there is this barrier and why I'm not like other children that get to spend the weekend with my dad. So if you use something simple like Steve said, and you start off with that, and then perhaps each year or as she gets older and as she inquires more. And then the other thing I was thinking is you may want to ask your husband, your ex-husband, well, what phraseology would you use to explain this to her daughter? I don't know that he's trying. Is he trying to explain any of this to her?
No, he would avoid it forever if he could.
Okay, so then I would invite
him. I think that's good.
I would invite him into the process to say, what would you like to have as an honest representation, because your daughter wants to know why her life is different than every other child.
Right.
I think the only small piece that I'd add to what Steve said, because I think it was really clear what you said, Steve, and very simple, and you want to keep it really clear and simple, is that when you said he was looking at children, you know, on the internet, the only piece I would think about adding to that is little kids with their who didn't have their clothes on.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Because she's going to wonder, well, what about children? You know, I mean, that's kind of a curious question. And that way you can just take that off the table. And then just realize it's going to hit her like a ton of bricks. It's going to feel kind of icky to her. Maybe she's going to have some shame about it. And it's going to be really important that you just sit with her in that and just affirm her beauty, affirm who she is as a little girl, and let her know this is something that isn't normal. There's not a lot of daddies that do this, just to kind of help create some safety for her. But just kind of hear her heart in that, because she's going to need to be held emotionally and probably even physically.
Well, and she's going to probably go to the place of, well, he probably gave me baths and stuff and saw me. I wonder how he reacted to that. And you know, it doesn't mean that he reacted to his daughter the same way he would kids on a pornography site. You know, a heterosexual man can have a daughter, 16, and be attracted to the 16-year-old's friends, but never have a thought about his own daughter. There's a compartmentalization there. I don't know if that even applies, but there's...
Yeah, there's both sides of the coin. Sometimes it happens, and sometimes it doesn't, you know?
The other thing, Angie, you can add to this is to say to your daughter, as you get older, you'll be able to choose, as you become an adult, whether you would like to have a relationship with your dad. When she's 18, she can choose to have a relationship with him. She can develop a relationship perhaps at that time.
Also choose not to, out of protecting her own children.
She can choose not to. Mm-hmm. Empower her by saying, you will have choices in this as you get older.
Yep.
In the meantime, we're going to pray for your dad that he will get help for his problem.
That's good.
That he'll get healthy, he'll get beyond this, and that you will be able to, if you want to, have that healthy relationship.
By the way, Angie, I'm so sorry you're having to go through this.
No kidding.
Oh, thanks. It's been a long 5 years.
It's horrible to have to go through. It just is horrible.
Our hearts were pounding when you were even asking us the question.
That's right.
We feel with you.
All right, Angie.
And this, Steve, shows, as every man's battle, and Women in the Battle conferences, the average Christian out there just does not hear in church, Sunday school classes. They just don't get how severe the male mind can get off track if fed, watered, and allowed to just wander along by itself year after year after year. Sin is progressive. Sin gets deeper.
You're right, Mike.
And this is a heads up to everybody out there to take this all very seriously.
Yeah. You're right.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back for more phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. The number for help, if you are struggling in this area, get some help, 1-800-639-5433. Those are the numbers for 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. Stay tuned.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Hey, if you live in Southern California, or if you want to fly in and you don't live in Southern California, this Friday, October the 7th, is Friday Night Live. It's an event that we're holding at Faith Community Church in West Covina from 7 to 10, and we're going to tape two New Life Live shows there. Sherry, Mylon, John, Dave, and I will be there. Call us for more information. That's the 7th of October on a Friday night, Friday Night Live at Faith Community Church in West Covina. And if any of those that I mentioned are not there, it's due to irresponsibility either on their part or the person that put their name on this sheet of paper. Okay.
I will be so, there.
Just say that out loud.
We were there a month ago, actually.
Yeah.
Kay and I, we did a How We Love workshop at that church.
Very good. All right. Cheryl from Oakland, California listens on KFAX. Hi there.
Hi.
How's it going, Cheryl?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Speak right up there, but we can hear you.
Okay, great.
How could we help you?
I'm calling with, I just kind of want to pinpoint on one main issue. I have a bunch of issues that are going on, and I feel scatterbrained, but I lost my son a year ago. He was murdered.
Mm.
And then I lost my dad 5 months after that. I've been in a string of death where I've just lost some very close family members, and it's like I need to be in a place according to my pastors and the people of my church, and I'm not there, and I'm frustrated. I'm in a relationship that's causing a lot of tension, I guess it's because of what I'm dealing with or not dealing with regarding my son.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of all over and need some kind of crown foundation. I'm not where they want me to be. I don't know how to get there right now. It's a lot.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Hey, how was your son murdered?
He was downtown Oakland, and he was in a rap battle or something, and the guy shot him.
Hmm. That's just too bad.
So sorry. How old was he?
27.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And what is your specific question for us, Cheryl?
I guess I'm supposed to be at a certain place. I don't know, but I'm not where a lot of people think that I should be.
And I'm wondering where that is. I mean, you've said that a few times, and I'm sitting here, like, looking at Mylon and Steve, shaking my head, going, what place are they asking you to be at? Like, really?
That's what I'm asking.
Well, who determines the place? How many people have ever had a son shot and then the father dies 5 months later? I mean, that's a compound wound.
Where are they asking you to be, Cheryl?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know. They're just telling me that the place that I'm in, I shouldn't be there. That I guess the depression that I'm suffering from, I shouldn't be there because I have a relationship with God. And it's kind of hard. I mean, I've inherited, well, I didn't inherit, but I took on the responsibility of taking care of a set of twins because my niece died on the table giving birth, and they brought her back, and she has some brain damage, and so I have her 9-year-old daughter as well, and so I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I just know that I guess I'm not in the place that they keep telling me, well, I shouldn't be here, and I'm like, I don't know.
You know, for you right now, depression and sadness, being sad about all that has happened is right where you're supposed to be. I can't imagine not going through, as Steve said, compound losses. And you just added another one in for us to see. It makes us sad. It makes someone sad and really ache, heartbroken, brokenhearted. It actually changes your brain chemistry, your limbic system. When you have loss, because the limbic system is responsible for bonding, when you have a bonding loss and a death, a murder is a bonding loss, your limbic system works really hard to try to compensate for that. And the limbic system is responsible for depression, negative thinking, sadness. Your body itself is trying to just catch its breath. So I think you need to find some place right now where you can feel accepted for being where you're at and just being sad and letting your heart ache and not being told you need to be someplace different. That would be really confusing.
It has been. The pain from all of it, what I've done is just kind of kept myself busy so I don't have to feel it because it hurts too bad and I don't know how to go through it. I know God is going to get me through it, but
I only have one thing to challenge you on, and that is that you need some people around you to support you and lift you up. And do you have those people that you can talk to about this and share your anger and your sadness?
Well, I have. At least I thought my church family was there, but they're the ones telling me that I shouldn't be where I'm at.
Then the answer to that is no, you don't have people to support you.
See, if you went to a grief recovery group, Cheryl, they would welcome all your emotions. Unlike the church. And this is a sad thing to say, and I'll probably get some not nice mail about this, but sometimes the secular people who will have a grief recovery group at a hospital, let's say, they understand more about the grieving process than the church does. You know, your church is telling you, stop all your emotions. You may not be overwhelmed. If you have Jesus, that's all you need. You should never feel. And they're trying to stop all your emotions, and yet Jesus' emotions were ever present and ever readily visible to others. So are God's from Genesis to Revelation. So that church is not properly representing God. It's possible to be a member of the body of Christ and to know Christ and have your sins forgiven, but also to be a person who is appropriate to the emotion that is in the stage of life you're in. So I want to encourage you to get in a group, like Steve is saying, you must be in a group where you learn to feel. You know, interestingly, Steve, in every man's battle, do any of those men who are stuck in addictions know how to feel? Do they know how to access any other emotions?
Not really.
And Sherry, in your workshop, do you think the women who are there really know how to access and identify emotions?
No, I in fact, I tell them, you know, in order to get through the grief,
yeah.
I said, you've got to swim through the river.
Yes.
And you got to cry a river of tears.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to get through that anger. You will not grieve unless you, as Steve mentioned earlier, deal with the anger and the sadness.
Right.
Which is crying a river.
Right.
And that's why the grief group would be a really good place for her. I think about even Jesus when Lazarus died. I mean, here's Amen. Jesus who was going to raise yeah. Lazarus from the dead. You know what it says? It says that Jesus was moved. They went to where Lazarus was put in that tomb, and it said that he looked around and he was moved by the people and moved by Mary, and he wept.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was going to, he knew the game plan. He knew he was going to have Lazarus come out of the tomb, but he paused to weep. That's God.
Yeah.
So there is a place for that.
So the Bible says mourn with those who mourn and weep with those who weep.
Well, Cheryl not only doesn't have a grief group, but the place where she could be grieving puts an expectation on her that is really, it's ridiculous. And I'm so sad that they react that way. But the looking into a grief group, maybe we can help you find that. I hope so. But I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. It is a great book to help you grieve and get beyond the things that you're struggling with.
She's very overwhelmed.
Yeah, definitely.
And it could also be that Cheryl has taken on more than her capacity to bear
right.
alone.
Right.
Well, and as she said, she's been working really hard
yes.
so she doesn't have to feel. And
yes.
did you hear she started to cry with
yes.
us? Just
yes.
slowing
yes.
down that much.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. maybe that's what her body of Christ might be. If there's any remnant of truth, it might be, you know, she needs to go to that place and just
yeah.
let it out, you know?
But seeing how you haven't done that, I think your emotions are right on schedule, what they would you'd expect them to be, and hopefully there'll be some resolution. You know, I heard someone say that when you lose a child, you never get over it, but the pain does change into a different kind of pain eventually, but you never stop hurting in some way or another.
You're right.
But it's time to get some support so that the pain can start to change into a different form. We'll take a break and we'll come back for our final segment here. We've got another couple of programs to do today, so if you're listening, you can call us, maybe be on a later program today at 1-800-229-3000. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back with more of New Life Live right after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's talk with John from Mission Viejo, California. He listens online. Hello, John. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help you today?
Well, considering engagement with a girl I've dated for a year now,
okay.
There's just a couple issues that I'm questioning whether they're deal breakers or I can live with them.
Okay. You tell us the issue and we will vote deal breaker or no deal breaker, okay?
And there's three of us. So
three of us, so we'll be able to help.
It might be a split decision. But
not with three. How can you be split with three?
Well, I meant divided decision.
Oh, yeah.
It could be divided. Okay, go ahead. Deal breaker or
okay.
not?
See, I have
okay,
a recessive
well,
math gene.
There's two, but I'll tell you the main one is that she's has a tendency to unknowingly flirt with guys.
Mm-hmm.
And get emotionally invested almost to a point where it's like accidental. She's not aware of it until it happens, and then she is able to cut that off and work on it. She just, for some reason, has told me that she's always growing up had a tendency to be a lot more comfortable around guys than girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has translated into not just me thinking that, but there's been multiple confirmations of people, her friends, that have said that sometimes she's, you know, flirty. And, you know, there's been instances within our relationship where that
okay.
has happened, and I've you know, approached her, and she's been really good about working on it, and she
okay.
has made a lot of progress.
Is there anything else that you're questioning?
I mean, on top of that issue,
yeah.
that's
mm-hmm.
a separate issue.
You said two things.
Yes, ma'am. Well, the second one is an organization issue where, or actually just kind of responsibility for herself, and that sometimes she, just knowing her, I knew her throughout in college, and she has a tendency sometimes to let work overwhelm her to the point where, you know, sometimes she's sleeping 4 or 5 hours a night consistently, and I'm kind of just worried about, you know, her health if she, you know, if at times in her life she has a workload more than she can bear.
Okay. All right,
so she's not a workaholic.
Okay, so
just,
those are the two big ones, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I vote number one is a deal breaker. Number two, maybe not necessarily. I'm talking about whether or not you should be engaged to her. What do you guys think?
Okay.
Milan, what's your vote?
Oh, I'm just supposed to vote, not comment?
Yeah, we're going to comment after we vote.
Deal break.
Deal breaker? Both of them or just one?
I think both of them offer concern
yeah.
that are causing him to pause. Now, that pause, so many times on this show, we tell people, why didn't you pay attention to the red flags before you said I do?
Yeah, right.
So these would be red flags
big
that would
red.
Cause me to pause.
Yeah. What about you, Sherry?
You know what, John? Number one really concerns me,
mm-hmm.
deal breaker. And what concerns me probably more than even it's happening is when I hear you say that it's accidental.
Yes.
You're giving her way too much liberty for a pattern that you're seeing in her life. She's
okay.
struggling, and it's not just a one-time thing. You're seeing it, but I hear you already trying to make nice about it and not to
sure.
have her take responsibility and kind of cover it up, or it's just accidental. It is not accidental.
Some people would call her a romance addict, where she is really into getting the attention of a guy, reeling that guy in, and then once she's accomplished that, well, then she can work on it and say she's better and she's not doing that anymore. But it is often a pattern of a romance addict to go from relationship to relationship like that, whether they're engaged or not. And guess what? If you get engaged to her, you're saying to her it's okay for you to be this way. And her being this way is not going to change once you get married.
Right. So what do you suggest, I guess, that John, I should do.
John,
because
let me ask,
I've talked to her, and like I said, she really has shown me like growth in this area, whereas before some things she thought, you know, were acceptable, and now she's veering away from that, even though she's still like sometimes, you know, I have to call her out.
Okay,
her, you know, that
hold
was
on.
A, that was a
we're
dirty.
Almost out of time.
Okay, John, I have a quick question. Does she have any kind of a painful past?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. So we describe in our book How We Love, and I recommend you read that. Vacillators in our book, amongst others, but especially vacillators, are flirtatious mm-hmm. because they seek and crave attention
yeah.
that many times was deprived from them as a child. So it's not just stopping the behavior as an adult, and we need to learn to stop the behavior as an adult, but we also need to go deeper than that and find out what is behind this need for me getting accolades, approval, flirtatiousness, because it's like a little cocaine hit every time somebody flirts with her. And why does she need that little pick-me-up? And so it can just happen to her. She might not be aware, but really it's a craving for attention, attentiveness, which if she had a painful past, she may not have had.
And which also may be why she's a workaholic and only sleeps 5 hours a night. She needs that attention for a job well done at work.
Or she struggles with regulation of the emotions.
Yep.
She struggles with the impulse control, the inability to control her regulation responses.
Well, I've said this so many times, but the little aviation thing where it's better to be on the ground wishing you were flying away than to be up in the air in the midst of a storm wishing you were on the ground. So you're on the ground, and this engagement, really, it'd be better if it didn't take off. And you'll be glad that it didn't. And then she can work on those issues, those issues of family of origin, and then there's great potential.
Get into pre-premarital counseling and read our book, How We Love, because we talk about those painful histories having tremendous sway over your adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And she really needs to get into a love and relationship group, support group.
Right.
You know, like you were talking, the romance. She's struggling with a love addiction. And so
Love and Sex Addicts Anonymous.
Exactly.
Would be great. We're out of time, and I will send you a copy of How We Love, Mylon's book. I hope that you will enjoy that. We've got November 3rd through the 6th coming up is our Lose It for Life, and it's going to be a great time. And when you consider that gastric bypass surgery is $18,000 to $35,000 and lap band is about $9,900 and all the other things you can do that cost a lot of money, it's a bargain. And so we'd love for you to come. If you've got a weight problem, we want to help you lose it for life. And that it isn't just the weight. It's those things inside that are so tough to deal with. We have some tips on homosexuality. You can get these free by calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And on Friday, we're going to have a Friday focus on the topic of homosexuality. So you be sure and tune in. And then, as you know, we need 4 people to sign up for Club New Life every day if we're going to reach our goal of 1,000 people for this year. And so please come on board and help us. Become part of the New Life giving family. It really could change your life when you finally realize I'm never going to afford to give to anything until I give to something. And then you end up with this generous spirit that affects every area of your life. You can find out how to do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Want to read a scripture for you. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. So there are a lot of things that we can choose to do, and they're just not good choices. They're just not godly choices. And sometimes we even become a slave to them. We don't do them. They do us. They come to own us. If that's the situation that you're in, we'd love for you to call us right now. 1-800-639-5433. 639-5433. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to help you so that you're not a slave to anything. My thanks to Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Denham, to all of you who listen, watch, and support us, thank you. We love you. We care about you. We'll see you next time on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.